is St. Patrick's Day. Good morning. And to me, it's a great day. Always been a good day for me. You might wonder why. I came from a large family. I have 8 siblings. None of them had a day to celebrate like me. So, you know, I'm sure there might be a St. John Day or a St. James Day or a St. Matthew Day, a St. Michael Day, whatever. I could keep going. But none like St. Patrick's Day. I love it, and I'm grateful for it. My parents would always say, we had a wee bit of Irish in us. My dad would say, we're just Heinz 57. We were just a big mix of all kinds of things. In honor of St. Patrick's Day, I brought my shillelagh stick. This was a gift to me, and it's an official shillelagh stick. And it reminds me of, I had a great Irish nun when I was in Catholic school. And she taught us all the Irish songs. Who threw the overalls in Mrs. Murphy's chowder? You know, we learned stuff about, I can't really even sing some of those songs nowadays, right? Who throws overalls in someone's chowder? I don't know, but it was a song we sung. We learned it all, and McNamara's band, and of course, it was the same old shillelagh my father brought from Ireland. And devil a man was prouder than he as he walked with it in his hand. You know, I could keep going, but I can't sing. In the shade of the old apple tree, I can't even sing that song. But I don't know, fourth grade, I think we learned all these, and they just drove them into us. She was a great, great lady, and, you know, loved her Irish heritage and taught me a lot about it. So this was a gift from someone here at the church, which was amazing. And I have also my Gaelic Bible this morning. So I can't read to you from it because I can't read Gaelic, but I do know that at least one of the early pages here, it says, I don't know, I'll probably botch this, I'll probably rip up the pronunciation, but it says, Anshan Tiomnad, and it means an Old Testament or the Old Testament, and I know, I can't pronounce it. Some of the words look English. Job works out. That's J-O-B. But a lot of it just doesn't compute with me. But it is the Word of God. And I'm going to be talking about St. Patrick's story today. I read his confession, and I've read it a number of times. It's not very long. And I had everything all figured out about today a while ago and thought I knew where I was going. And yesterday that all changed, and sometimes those things just happen, and even Julie was saying, hey, I thought you were pretty much up front on this and ready, and I said, sometimes that's just the way God is working, and I'm constantly just asking, Lord, what do you have for your people? And you know, we've been talking about the questions of Jesus, so I have a question from Jesus that's going to tie into St. Patrick's life, and we're going to use him as an example, but things totally changed, and rereading his confession, what I did is I went back to some of the early roots of our own church. I started reading some of the story of M.D. Beale that she wrote down in a publication that was put out monthly back in the 50s called the Latter Rain Evangel, and a number of years ago had all those digitized, so I'm grateful for the technology, and so I have the digital rendition, and it was chapter 11 that really was one that I was reading because it's about Pentecost, it's about the Holy Spirit, and I'll just, as sort of the kickstart to this morning and talking a bit about St. Patrick, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was just in the man's life. I want to just read a little bit from our founding pastor, M.D. Beale. She wrote this so many years ago, but it's good to sometimes look back and touch on our history. We're going to celebrate 90 years in June, and this is our founding pastor. She writes about it at 6 o'clock in the morning. This is chapter 11, by the way. Once a month, she added a chapter. So it took about 2 years to write her memoir. And this says it was 6 o'clock in the morning and her husband had left for work before the children had risen for school. I went into the kitchen. It was in the fall of the year and the house was chilly. I lit the gas oven. I placed my Bible on a chair and I knelt down on the floor before it to pray and study the word. This was a regular procedure with me to spend a short time in worship and meditation in the silence and the peace of a quiet house before the bustle of the day began. So you can imagine that before the kids get up and she's taking a few minutes with the Lord. And that time, the furnaces weren't like they are today. She lit the stove, knelt down by it, and she goes on to write. She really was seeking God to help understand his word. She just was being very, very genuine and earnest before God and saying, Lord, I don't understand your word. Help me to understand. And she wrote later, I did not know that this was the way of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit could help you to understand the word of God. And she continues to write that I knelt on the kitchen floor before my Bible. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak a language I had never in my life learned or in fact even heard. In her heart, there was a great rushing wind, and she felt this amazing sensation. And she writes, I was speaking words of the Spirit. For some moments, the power and the anointing of God covered and filled me with the most poignant sensation. And she glanced down onto the chair, and her Bible was open to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the home where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I realized then with a great feeling of awe that something supernatural had just happened to me. And that account goes on about how she now began to just tell others about this. She wanted to learn more, what had occurred, study more about this. And we're going to talk about that. This all just, yesterday I thought, it just came to me. And I feel that God was working on my heart to totally change how I was, what I was going to speak to you this morning. And it is about the Holy Spirit. And it is about being endued with power from on high. And I begin with the story of St. Patrick. It is St. Patrick's Day, and many believe he was Irish, but he wasn't. He was British. He lived in the 5th century, so a long time ago. And he is said to have died on March 17th, 461, which is why we celebrate today. According to legend, he used the shamrock to speak about the Trinity, that it was an example. The three leaves united, yet they were individual. So it was an illustration of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit united together, but yet individually they were God. People in the 18th century in Ireland began wearing shamrocks on March 17th, and then that tradition grew to green. It grew to wear some green, put on some green, and the green isn't all about the Emerald Isle. So if you're wearing green today and someone asks you, why are you wearing green? You tell them, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is what it represents. That's how it started. It's about God, not about just the color of the island. There's tons of myth about St. Patrick and the snakes and all that. There wasn't even snakes on Ireland. What we have, though, that I want to speak from is his memoir, which he called The Confession. It's his confession of how the Lord worked in his life. And he writes of the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in his life, and it transformed his life. Patrick, again, he was British. He grew up in Britain. It was the late 4th century that he was born, and he his formidable years was there in the late 4th century, the early 5th century. His father was a deacon. His grandfather was a priest. So he had this influence in his life. But he blocked it out. He didn't really want to have anything to do with God. He didn't learn the things of God, even though his father and his grandfather were teaching him. As a teenager, a young man, he was captured by Irish raiders who had come on the island and took many captives. He writes that there were thousands. He was one of them, and he was taken back to Ireland and made a slave. He worked as a shepherd. He was put he was put out alone. He was isolated. He writes, alone, often cold and hungry and naked. And what could he do? He's all alone. He had nothing to do but turn to God, the God he had neglected, the God that he had cared little about. And he began to pray. He began to pray to the God that he really didn't know. He bared his heart. And I'll just share his words, how this came to pass. He said, faith grew, and my spirit was moved, so that in one day I would pray up to 100 times, and at night perhaps the same. I would rise to pray before the dawn and snow and ice and rain. I never felt worse for it. I realize now the spirit was burning in me at that time. He further explained, I was then about 16 years of age. I did not know the true God. The Lord opened the sense of my unbelief that I might at last remember my sins and be converted with all my heart to the Lord my God, who had mercy on my youth and ignorance and watched over me before I knew him. What an amazing story. God sovereignly pouring into this young man as he just, to the God he really didn't know about, he's crying out. And after 6 years of captivity, after 6 years of being a slave shepherd, he had a dream where he heard in his dream he would go home soon and that a ship was waiting. So he ran away from his master and he went to a port which was about 200 miles. He had a long trek. He found a port that had a ship. With some difficulty, he persuaded the captain to allow him on board. They were going to Britain. They landed on the coast a few days later, and after landing, another long trek for Patrick, where God really took care of him. He prayed. He was hungry. God helped him, but through it all, Patrick relied on the Lord, and he made it home to be with his parents. His life was forever changed. He committed his life to Jesus Christ. He entered a monastery to learn, and he was ordained a priest. Some 20 years later, he was made a bishop, and he began to, again, have dreams. And these dreams had been recurring. They had started actually quite a bit earlier before he was made a bishop, but the dreams continued, and they were dreams calling him back to Ireland. Go back to your land of captivity. And hesitantly, he returned. You can imagine going back to the country where you were made a slave. But he did return. Though hesitantly, he became zealous. He fell in love with the people. And then he stayed there till he died. He went to the place where he had been enslaved. He spent 30 to 40 years preaching and baptizing thousands. And he established churches and schools and monasteries. But life wasn't easy. Life wasn't just a walk in the park. He writes that one time he felt assailed by Satan himself, tormented. At other times, he faced intense persecution and struggle. So of those times, here's what Patrick wrote. I believe that I was sustained by Christ my Lord and that his spirit was even then crying out in my behalf. I saw him praying in me. I heard him above me, that is, over the inward man, and there he prayed mightily with groanings. I was astonished, and I wondered. This sounded so much to me like M.D. Beale's writing, just astonished and wondered, and what's happening? He's praying with groanings, and he writes, I was astonished and wondered, and I thought, who could it be that prayed in me? But he spoke, saying that he was the Spirit. I remembered then the apostle saying, the Spirit helps the infirmities of our prayer, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself asks for us with unspeakable groanings, which cannot be expressed in words. Patrick quoted from Romans 8. He went on, daily I expect either a violent death or robbery and a return to slavery or some other calamity. But I fear none of these things because of the promises of heaven, the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Patrick had heard God's call, go back to the land of your captivity. And he went. And though it wasn't easy, he lived above his doubts and he lived above his fears. They were defeated because he had the promise of heaven, the infilling of the Holy Spirit within him. And Patrick's confession is an example of living the promise Jesus made, the promise that Jesus made when he called his disciples and said, go out and preach to all nations, making disciples, preaching the good news, baptizing. We call it the Great Commission. And all of us as Christians, we have a part in the Great Commission. We're all called to serve in God's kingdom. And even if we're not expecting a violent death or robbery or a return to slavery, we might still have doubts or fears. It may not be as dramatic as what Patrick faced, but it does happen to us. Jesus promised help. We've been considering questions posed by Jesus, and today we're going to look at the very last question that Jesus is recorded asking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. It's Luke's account of the Great Commission. In Matthew's Gospel, we read it very straightforward, Jesus saying, go out and preach to all nations, baptizing them and make disciples. Luke's account is a little different, but it's Luke's account of the Great Commission. I'm going to read from verses 36 to 38. They begin, while they were still talking about this. They were the disciples, the 11 faithful apostles, and a whole group of other disciples, followers of Jesus, who were wondering about his resurrection. Two men that had met the resurrected Jesus had come excitedly to this group, and they were all talking about the resurrection. These two men were saying, it's true. We saw Jesus. He walked with us as we were going to this town called Emmaus. And they told their whole story, and everyone was all excited talking about the resurrection. While they were still talking about this, the resurrection, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? This is the question. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Well, Jesus went on to talk to them. He showed himself to them. He said, touch me. He ate with them. He said, I'm not a ghost. He assured his followers that he was absolutely alive. The amazing thing, if you continue reading in Luke chapter 24, it says they still didn't believe. They still did not believe. They've got Jesus saying, touch me. Come on, I'll eat with you. I'm alive. I'm real. And yet they were still struggling. They still had their doubts. Jesus sat down with them. He shared the scriptures. He opened their minds so they could understand. And then there's Luke's version of the Great Commission where he wrote, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses. And then Jesus concluded this way. These are the last words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus speaking, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I don't know if they really understood what Jesus was talking about. Get to the city, stay there. You'll be clothed with power from on high. Jesus had taught and talked about not leaving his followers all alone. The end of John's Gospel, all about the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you this a helper, this comforter, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus had talked about this in his ministry. His last words here in the Gospel of Luke reiterate that promise. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Yet why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise? You need to be clothed with power from on high. M.D. Beale, she was just, I don't understand this, Lord. I need more. Can you help me understand the Word of God? She needed to be clothed with power from on high. Patrick, he was just wondering, should I go? Do I need to go back to the land of my captivity? He needed to be clothed with power from on high. And these are two examples of people that just sincerely sought God. You need to be clothed with power from on high. The first disciples, Patrick in the fifth century, M.D. Beale, who founded this church, all of us today, we need this power of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus once said to his disciples, you have the Holy Spirit with you, but he will be in you. It's a fabulous promise. I don't know that they understood it when he said it, because they struggled so much with understanding. But that promise still stands. He will be in you. After Jesus ascended to heaven, his followers were obedient. They were obedient to what he said. They went into the city of Jerusalem. They found a big room. There was 120 some, and they prayed and they waited, anticipating the promise. Being clothed with power from on high, what's it all going to mean? How's it going to happen? Well, then came this day, the day called Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. It was 50 days after Jesus had been crucified. And what occurred? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I read to you in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of God just fell on top of them as they prayed. And there was these images of cloven tongues of fire. And they began to declare the wonders of God in languages they hadn't even been taught. And it caused a spectacle there in the city of Jerusalem. A great crowd gathered. One of Jesus' closest followers, Peter, he told the crowd, let me tell you what you're witnessing. You're all wondering it. You have no idea what's going on. This is the promise fulfilled. And he went back to the Old Testament. He went back to Joel and Peter. He said, the promise is for you. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. It's us. You know, this promise of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's for all of us to be endued with power from on high, to be able to assail doubts and fears, to be able to understand, to be able to walk with confidence in our faith. I want to speak a little bit more about this, touch on just a couple of points of what it means to have this great infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's just a couple points. There are so many. I begin with just a little story as I move into this, speaking about the Holy Spirit as a way of example. We have Patrick. We've talked about M.D. Beale. I got another one here. This is from a guy named Vernon Gilbert. It was written in 2016. He lived in Mountain Valley, North Carolina. It says, after a lifetime of chopping firewood and hauling water, Vernon Gilbert's looking forward to electricity and running water in a house neighbors are having built for him. He was getting a gift. He was getting a gift. This man, he had hauled firewood and water all his life. And it's 2016. That's really incredible. Vernon has lived all his life in the house in which he was born, which has stood practically untouched through time. The 67-year-old used to be able to keep up with the physical demands of living that way, he said, but health problems are slowing him down. So far, I've been happy all my life, Gilbert said. But maybe it's time to live an easier life. So this guy lived his life, his needs were met, but he was missing something. He was missing something that would empower him. He was missing an empowering element, and it would have enabled him to do things, well, with less effort, with less struggle. And that element that he was missing was a connection to the electrical grid. He was missing that solid connection. And it wasn't like he was without electricity at all. He had a little transistor radio, the article talked about, a cassette player. So you can tell this guy's living in ancient history. They were operated by batteries. So he understood a little bit. He had a little power, but he was content with it for 67 years to have batteries, not have running water, not have electricity in his house for light bulbs and such. And he made no effort to connect to the grid, even though he knew it was available. It's there. It's right there. And sometimes I think that's how we view the Holy Spirit. He's there. He's right there. He's this immense power, a promise. We just don't want to connect. We don't want to make the effort. We might think, well, I had a touch of the Holy Spirit. Imagine just if M.D. Beale had had that experience and then nothing more. She didn't talk about it. She's like, wow, that was cool, or that was an amazing experience, and then just continued along in her life. Well, she didn't, because she sought more and she wanted more. She wanted to be totally and completely immersed and connected rather than just this one touch, you know. And some of us, well, I was baptized. I was prayed for. Yeah, I felt something. And I've, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit was there. But really, that's good. That's good. I'm all right. No more seeking. No more effort to make a connection. No desire. Well, maybe today it's time to maybe think about the way Vernon thought. It's time to live a little bit differently, a little bit easier, he said. Well, how? With the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Well, like Patrick. Patrick prayed 100 times during the day, and he said as many times at night, and he rose during snow and ice and rain, and he wrote, I felt no worse for it, because he was connected. The Spirit, he said, the empowering Holy Spirit was burning in him. Man, that's what got him up in the morning to pray in the snow, naked and alone and isolated. The power of the Holy Spirit burning in him. I'm telling you, no human capability is going to do that for you. It was the living God who had sovereignly met this young man. And the Bible talks about this. We read from Acts chapter 2. It says about being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible uses other words like receiving the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit falling upon believers, the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out, the baptism with the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. These are ways that the New Testament speaks of being filled with the Spirit coming upon someone and making that connection and continuing to seek and desire more. These are all operations of the Holy Spirit, these phrases, baptism, receiving, being filled, and it's about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And what is that all about? A couple of points of empowerment I want to touch on, but first, is it all about you just getting more of the Holy Spirit, or is it the Holy Spirit like latching on to you? Is it about the Spirit getting more of you? And that's not it. It's not an either. It's not the Spirit being more in us or more of us connected to Him. It's both. It's this lasting connection. And if we look at the grid example, is your house connected to the grid, or is the grid connected to your house? Well, it's both. It's both. And if you'd rather not have the connection, well, you could do that. You could break the connection. You don't have to have it. No one forces you to be connected to the electrical grid, and no one forces you to be connected to the Holy Spirit. You have to be open. You have to be genuine. You have to be sincerely seeking, welcoming the Spirit of God. And the power is there. The power of God is there. The power of God is available. But how available are you? How open are you to welcoming the Spirit in your life, this being endued with power from on high? It might sound just overwhelming, even a little frightening, like, I don't want to be endued with power. But it's a beautiful thing. Patrick had rejected God during his youth. He didn't welcome this connection. He didn't want anything to do with God. He was content to run on his own power, his human capacity. Are we content with running on our own capacity, our own power? Are you content with just a one-time touch of the Holy Spirit? running on batteries, so to speak? Or do we desire to be continuously filled, continuously seeking, asking for more? Because this ongoing connection with the Holy Spirit, it yields great benefits. One is a prayer. One is prayer. That was a key area of Patrick's life. That was a key area the Holy Spirit just empowered him in. His ability to communicate with God. And we as Christians need help sometimes in our prayer. And we might not know what we need to pray for or how to pray. A situation comes up in front of us and it's just beyond our human capacity. It's beyond what we can do. And Patrick, he wrote, "Satan strongly put me to the test. I will remember it as long as I live. It was as if an enormous rock fell on me and I lost all power in my limbs. Although I knew little about the life of the Spirit at the time, I believe that I was helped by Christ the Lord and that his Spirit cried out for me. I believe it too." He was being assailed by Satan. He felt helpless. And the Holy Spirit begins to work in him and help him with his prayer. Situation beyond our human capacity. You've likely had an experience like that. You just didn't know what to do. Those experiences can elicit the things that Jesus' disciples were feeling. Fears and doubts and how do I even understand this in my mind? And doubts rise up. What did Jesus ask? Why are you troubled? Why did doubts rise up in your minds? I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Power from on high. Has that power filled you? Are you connected? Do you want to continue to be connected, immersed in this power? You know, in those times when you're troubled and when doubts rise up in your mind, the power of the promised Holy Spirit in you, it can defeat and put all of that down. Just lay it to bed. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in our prayer. That is, it's just something that's hard to understand until you experience it. Paul wrote in Romans 8, which Patrick had quoted, Romans 8, 26 and 27, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Hallelujah. I just love that because sometimes I walk around and say, Lord, what is your will here? What is your will? I have got to get to this point where the Spirit of God is praying through me in accordance with God's will. God knows our heart. He searches our heart. And he knows what's best. I want what I think is best. I know what my human desires are, but they often are not aligned with what God truly wants and desires. When I get into that place where I just allow the Spirit of God to pray through me, I trust this. He intercedes, and he's praying in alignment with the perfect will of God. That's amazing. I need that. We all need that. This was the passage, Patrick, he quoted it, because he was facing something beyond his human capacity. I don't think any of us had ever experienced something like this, facing our death, facing slavery. He feels like Satan's assailing him, but he had the Holy Spirit interceding for him when he didn't know how to pray. Great benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Another empowering element of the Spirit, that's the empowerment to be witnesses. Well, Pastor Barry was up here saying, be witnesses, be witnesses. And we heard a word today about being endued with power. We can overcome doubts and fears to share the gospel and make disciples. When Patrick had that first dream where he heard the call to go back to Ireland, he didn't go immediately. It was after a number of years because he thought, I'm too much of a country boy. He thought, I'm just not educated enough. I'm not smart enough. He wrote about his rusticity. He was rustic. He was rural. Who's going to listen to some rural country guy? I can't go. He had doubts. He had doubts. He was hesitating. But he credits the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered him to return to Ireland, enabled him to preach Christ. And then through him, thousands were baptized. Schools, churches, monasteries. People are getting saved, and they're learning about the ways of God, even though he was facing enslavement, even being killed, he said. I'm not facing that. I don't know if any of us face that when we're talking to someone about Jesus here. We really do have it so good. In our culture, different things hold us back, different fears, different doubts. Why don't you share Jesus? Well, I'm afraid I'll be rejected. I'm going to look foolish. I don't have all the answers. This is one I know many struggle with. I just don't have the answers. People are going to ask me questions I don't have the answers for. You know what these skeptics always ask. What about the dinosaurs? I don't have the dinosaur question answered. I just don't have it. You know, why does a good God allow so much suffering? Oh, that's a huge question. I can't answer that. The Word of God tells you the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. He'll help you. He'll help you. Just trust him in those situations where you feel like pressured immediately. You know, people fear that they're ill-equipped. I just can't do it. They doubt the next step. They doubt the next word. I read an article about a new Christian who was terrified, because they had a history of all their social media profiles and such. Well, now they were terrified to change their profile to say, I'm a Christian. Just had to work months at this before they could even make a post with maybe a scripture or something that said, I'm a Christian. They were afraid because, well, I know people are going to not, they're not going to follow me anymore. I'm going to lose followers if I say I have trusted Jesus. Yeah, our fears and our struggles, they're different than the first century Christians. They're different than, you know, Patrick, who was facing persecution and potential execution. But we got the same. We have the same equipping Holy Spirit. Believe that. Believe that. If he can help someone look over, I'm going to be enslaved again. I might be killed. He can help us to change our profile to say, I'm a Christian. He can help us to answer a dinosaur question. He can. And we'll just trust him. We have the same equipping Holy Spirit. Jesus, he said this. This is Luke chapter 12. It's a time before he was resurrected. But he talked about this power of the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, Luke 12, 11 and 12, when you're brought before synagogues, rulers, authorities, don't worry. Don't worry about how you're going to defend yourselves or what you'll say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. He'll empower you. He'll help you. Trust him. Put your life in his hands. Now, Jesus talked about the empowering Holy Spirit. It wasn't a reality then when he was there in Luke 12. It wasn't a reality in their lives. They might have just been like, what does this all mean? When he was arrested, his followers abandoned him. They scattered. They were afraid, but after the resurrection, things started to change a little bit. Even though they were still frightened, their fears did subside a little, but even, as I said in Luke 24, Jesus is there. He's saying, touch me, eat with me. They're still like, I don't believe it. Troubles and doubts were rising up in their minds. They needed the Spirit, and he helped them. He helped them. Read the rest of the New Testament. After that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit touched all those lives, it was as if they were completely different people. They were emboldened for Christ. Peter denied knowing Jesus. He had denied knowing him. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And this wasn't long after. It was less than 2 months later. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. His friend, John, along with Peter, they stood before the Jewish leaders. And they testified, Jesus is the Messiah. They told them flat out, this Jesus whom you crucified, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. Acts chapter 4 says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how it starts. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they started telling these leaders, Jesus is the one. And you know what? When those leaders saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized they were unschooled and they were ordinary men, it says in Acts 4, they were astonished. See, these guys had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They were empowered. They were no longer frightened. Peter wasn't denying Jesus anymore. He's standing there. And yes, they could have imprisoned him, killed him. They flogged him. But these guys had received the promise. I've only touched on just a few aspects of this empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And there are so many more, so many gifts of the Spirit, so many empowering aspects of the Spirit. But prayer aligned with the will of God, prayer as the Spirit of the living God intercedes for us. When you face a dilemma, when you face the unknown, doubts eliminated, the courage to speak, to answer questions, God will give you that. The Holy Spirit will give you that. You can respond to someone who asks a question. You can talk to that coworker, that neighbor, whomever might be challenging you. We need the empowerment. We need to get connected. Patrick had written this, and I close with it. I must not hide God's gift, which he bestowed upon me in the land of my captivity, because then I earnestly sought him, and there I found him, and he saved me from all evil on account of his Spirit living and working in me to this very day. Is the Spirit working in you, living in you right now, in this very day? Would you desire more? Do you want more? Think of these examples from the earliest apostles. They just obeyed Jesus. They went and they waited and they said, we'll pray, we'll wait. Then they were endued with this power from on high. Patrick, who had rejected God, reached out to him. Lord, help me. God, help me. And the Spirit burned within him and helped him to pray, helped him to seek, taught him. 6 years alone, 6 years all alone. But with the Holy Spirit burning in him, helping him. Think about the earliest history of this church, M.D. Beale, just like, hey, God, I don't understand your word. Can you help me? Just earnestly seeking. And then more. That's why Acts 2 talks about the day of Pentecost. Acts 4 says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They continued to seek the connection. Are you continuing to seek the connection? Do you want it? Do you desire it? Let me tell you, we've been hearing about this, right? The Spirit, do you believe the Spirit of God speaking to us as a church? Do you desire to be endued with power from on high? Do you want more? Would you want more? Well, let's stand. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. I invite you to if you feel as if, you know, I would like more, and I want to be earnest. I want to be genuine, sincere. Bear your genuine heart. Well, God will receive the earnest and the genuine and the sincere. This is what he desires. Just, you know, sincere heart. That's it. That is it. I say let's take a few moments just to be those earnest, sincere seekers, asking for more. I don't know what you got in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know if you're facing one of those things that's just humanly impossible and you need that the Spirit of God praying through you. I don't know if you want the ability to speak more to others about Jesus. You need to be emboldened. Maybe it's something totally different. But God's Spirit, it's a promise. If you want to receive more, ask. And come on. And I invite any and all to these altars to just to call on God. And we can, you know, we can pray together. We can sing together. We can worship God together. We can invite his presence together. We can be like Patrick, like, Lord, I don't know. Help me. Come on, I need your help, God. I need it. And allow that the Spirit of God to penetrate your heart for you. Do you want that connection, or do you want just like sort of the batteries? Do you want the one time, or do you want to say, come on, Lord, I need you today. I need you today. I need you today. Oh, just if our worship team, if you can sing and just let's worship God together and call on him. You need the divine will of God praying through you. Just ask, be endued with power from on high. You don't need to leave today until you're endued with power from on high. That's been, I believe, the Spirit speaking to us. Let's be sincere and respond. Pouring, God, pour into them. In the name of Jesus, pour into them. God, our Savior, living Word, your promises are true and faithful. Your promises are true. Endue your people, these who are crying out, Lord, endue them with your power from on high. Not our power, not human power, Lord, but your lasting Spirit. Pour in afresh, my God. Touch these hearts and touch these lives that are seeking you, that are earnestly looking to you, God, that are facing things that need that trouble and those doubts in their minds pushed down. God, what are they doubting? Why are they doubting? God, empower, send your promise, Lord, to these who are honestly and genuinely reaching for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're our risen Savior, and we trust you that your promises are true. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Just pour into each and thank you for your Spirit. Continue to move in each life. God, when we feel those days where we just feel unplugged, and pour into us. Help us to cry out to you that we can be like Acts 4 and Acts 9 and later on where it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill us again. Fill us again. And when we need it, fill us again, God. May we not be people who just disconnect, God, or put up a wall. Help us, God, to just be so open to what you have. Your gifts are amazing. Thank you, thank you. Lord, may we leave here. May we just leave here with your Spirit carrying us. And whatever we face, God, whatever anyone in this room faces today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, oh, God, do like Jesus said. You give them the words. You give them what they need. Thank you, God. Bring the testimonies of that. Bring the testimonies of your Spirit working like we heard from a guy named Patrick over 1,500 years ago who just said, it's because of the Spirit who is in me to this day. May that be the testimony of everyone in this room. Thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.